This episode is, in fact, brought to you by the good people at BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace and distribution site. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 685. Today we hear from Charla, who asks,
"My dad and I listen to your podcast to and from school activities, and we've had this tradition for a long time. I don't know why it took so long for me to send in a question. I write in my free time at home or in free time at school, and I've noticed when I write, I have quite a few complications, which leads me to my question. Have you ever had a lot of trouble thinking of character names? I mean, your entire book is going to be about this one character, or these few characters that are your protagonists, so you want the name to really fit in well with the protagonist. Do you have any tips for picking the right names for characters?"
This is my kryptonite. I'm told that you wouldn't guess it by reading my books because I always seem to have great names, but I don't believe that for a hot second. I find picking character names to be utterly tortuous and unnecessary bullshit. Except that it is necessary, and that pisses me off! I'm actually stuck on the opening of a novel that I'm co-writing right now, because I have to write the opening couple of chapters, and I'm stuck at paragraph number 2 because I have to give the character a name.
Bob.
Yeah, Bob. It's like the end of Titan AE, Planet Bob. Oh, that was such a glorious moment. Anyway, I don't know. Part of the problem is that it's both more important and less important than it feels. It's more important because the character name needs to be distinct enough within the story to be identifiable on the page, recognizably. People who are reading the story need not to get confused over who's talking. So you don't want to give, for example, two people the same first name in your book, or particularly two bad guys the same first name in the book, like some science fiction writers I know who had William Shelley and William Ellison in the same book, sharing scenes next to each other on completely different planets. That was me, by the way. Oops. I got around it by having one of them go by Bill and one of them go by William. But really, it was, yeah. But now those characters are those characters, and so I can't change it, and wouldn't even if I could, because in my head, that's what they're called. So you want to avoid problems like that. Your character names need to be distinctive enough to evoke the character that they characterized. But they don't need to be so distinctive enough that everything's in the name. What you want is something that stands out enough from the background of the other characters that when you do your characterization, you will be able to successfully form those associations through your story. Now, you can do this by picking character names that have a certain sound. There's a level on which you can do audience priming by picking the sounds of the names. So, Lord of the Rings, right? All of the good guys have names that have really strong articulation. They have a warmth to their sound, a brightness. Aragorn, Legolas. Frodo is a bit ambiguous. Samwise, all you see the bright A's and the short O's. Those are bright sounds. Gandalf. Then you move to the more ambiguous vowel sounds are your long O's and your long U's, like oo and O and E and I. Those are all ambiguous sounds. And then you get to your dark vowel sounds. Ugh. Ooh. Ugh. The stuff that sounds like you're grunting. It sounds like you're seriously constipated or that you're being stabbed in the gut. So in Lord of the Rings, you get Shelob, Ugluk, the Uruk-hai. all those sounds, the dark guttural vowels, those tell you right away they're bad guys because they sound, their names sound violent or disgusting, depending. Because ugh is also the sound you make when you step in a dog's mess. Ugh, what's all over my toe, right? And that sort of stuff is hardwired into human biology. It shows up in every language with some variation. But, I mean, the sounds that we make in delight, the ah, yee, ha, woo, ha, those bright sounds, and the sounds we make in disgust or fear, ah, huh, those sounds are hardwired into human biology, so they're a real shortcut towards creating prejudice for your character. Now, that's Tolkien, and Tolkien was a linguist, and he knew this. The rest of us generally do it, so he did it on purpose. The rest of us generally do it subconsciously. There's some feedback coming in tomorrow's episode about checking out contemporaneous literary sources and name databases if you're setting something in historical time so you can pick common or uncommon names for the era. Another great place to look is mythology. People are always naming their children after mythological creatures and people. Whether those people are fictional, like, for example, how Daenerys became suddenly a really popular name when Game of Thrones hit HBO. Or I have some friends named after characters in Lord of the Rings, which was the popular mythology when their parents were in their teens and 20s.
We have a friend who's named after a location.
Yeah, we have a friend who's named after a location in Lord of the Rings. Then, let's see, you also get constantly people name their kids like Zeus and Diana, and no one's really doing Aphrodite or Demeter anymore.
I swear about half of my friends in college wanted to name their first daughter Jadzia. None of them did.
Because Deep Space Nine was big at the time. But mythologies that are known to the culture in which your character is born, big deal, great place to pilfer names from, because people do it in real life. I mean, how many Spanish-speaking guys do you know who are named Jesus? How many Arabic-speaking guys do you know who are named Muhammad? It's because those are powerful mythological figures, symbols of the ultimate good, and of stoic male leadership in those cultures. And parents tend to pick names based on the qualities they hope their children will grow into, if parents put thought into names beyond honoring family tradition or what sounds cool. So those are some ways to name your characters as well. Oh, gosh, there's all sorts of things. Like I said in a recent episode, when I get really, really lost, I will just name groups of characters based on certain conventions. Like, I had one book where I named one group of characters based on the Romantic poets. I just switched all the names around. So instead of Walter Scott and Percy Shelley, I had William Shelley and Percy Scott. You can do stuff like that. I had one scene where I had a group of 16 men all on the same work crew, and all of them had one or two lines, and I just needed names for them to keep them straight in the text. So I looked up at my bar, and I happened to have a lot of whiskey bottles on the shelf that day, so I just named each one of them after a different whiskey. And some fans caught that, but, you know, that happens. But you can do anything like that. You just, you know, Douglas Adams named Ford Prefect after a car. That was the joke, right? In England, the Ford Prefect was a very popular car. And so the alien, who was previously known as Ix, which, if I recall correctly, translates in Beetlejuicean into boy who cannot adequately explain what a harung is nor why it chose to collapse on Beetlejuice 7 in particular. He was previously called Ix, and then he comes to go undercover in England, and trying to take a survey of the dominant life form, he decides that the name Ford Prefect would be nicely inconspicuous because he mistook that cars were the intelligent life form instead of people.
Easy mistake.
Right. but you can do stuff like that. You can name people after animals. And again, what matters most to the character is how distinctive they are in the text and how well you characterize them. And their name will have an effect on how you characterize them and how the audience perceives them. But to a great extent, you can trust your subconscious and your creativity to bridge that gap, especially as you get practice. So that's my advice. Thank you for writing in, finally. It's good to have you on the regular roster of questioners. I'm very flattered that that I'm part of the school commute and the school activities commute. Really glad you guys enjoy the show. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.